All right, we are in Psalm 150 tonight. Psalm 150, and the title of tonight's message is Your Life an Alleluia? Is Your Life an Alleluia? So we'll read these six verses, very, very short psalm, very much to the point. Psalm 150, beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with timbrel, and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Now, tonight, we end a journey through the book of Psalms that began in January of 2012. So that means that we've been in Psalms on Wednesday night for over 7 years. And we have, in that time, had over 200 devotionals. You say, well, there's only 150 Psalms, but then there's Psalm 119, right? And there's also many other psalms where we spent quite a few Wednesdays just meditating on the truths of those well-known psalms. And I've enjoyed spending, 3 to 4 hours a week just studying these psalms. And for me, they've been a help to get me ready to pray with you on Wednesday night, but also to help me pray in my normal, just everyday prayer life. And so that's what it's for. So these psalms are here so that they will be a prophet to us so that we'll grow. They truly are the book of prayer in the Bible. And so we learn how to bring our requests to the Lord through these psalms. Now, most of these devotionals are on sermon audio. And so you can listen to them. I can remember when my brother was struggling, I told him that I had recorded all of these devotionals on various topics, and I tried to make sure that I put the key words in there so that you can even search the Psalms according to key words like depression or guilt or hope, words that we sometimes need as we go through our daily lives. But as far as the future, I think what we're going to do on Wednesday evenings is go through the book of Philippians. So we'll have an exposition through the book of Philippians. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote a wonderful two-volume set that I no longer have anymore. But it was a wonderful two-volume set on the life of joy and the life of peace. The life of joy was an exposition of Philippians 1 and 2, and then the life of peace was an exposition of Philippians 3 and 4. And so I think that understanding that our true joy and our happiness and our peace is found in Christ and in Him alone is a good meditation before we pray. So that will be the goal in the weeks ahead. Derek Kidner writes that Psalm 150's brevity, the fact that it's just six verses and it moves very quickly, actually ends up being very stimulating. And it serves as rounding off the whole of the Psalms. It's not like it just ends that collection of five psalms right at the end that have to do with the word hallelujah, the Hallel Psalms. But it's more than that. He said that it gives us the where of praise in verse 1, the why of praise in verse 2, the how of praise in verses 3 through 5, and the who of praise in verse 6. Now, you say, well, what do you mean? Where does Israel praise the Lord? Well, the psalm tells us that Israel praises the Lord in the sanctuary, it says, which seems to run parallel with the expanse of the heavens or the firmament as it's written here. Why does Israel praise the Lord? She praises Him for what He does for them and who He is, His character and His conduct, which we've reviewed many times as we've gone through the psalms. How does Israel praise the Lord? She praises the Lord with trumpet, it says, lute, harp, timbrel, dance, stringed instruments, flutes, and loud clashing cymbals. And Kidner sums this up by saying that Israel praises the Lord with everything that she has. And that's the truth. That's the summation of all of those instruments. We praise the Lord with everything that we have. Now, sometimes people make a fallacious argument. They'll look at these things and they'll say, well, we can use then rock music because, after all, Israel's using loud, you know, clashing cymbals, or we can use sensual dance even to worship the Lord because Israel is dancing here as well. There's nothing sensual about the music here or even the dance of Old Testament Israel. And whenever you take something out of its context and you put it in the current cultural milieu, you know that you're not reading the Bible properly. There's a context, right? And we don't rip things out of their context, because when we do that, then we misunderstand what the Bible is actually teaching. So it's dangerous to do things like that. Of course, people are doing it. Now, you say, well, but certainly the music here is celebratory. It is. But a lot of it has to do with the heart of the people. See, the reason why you see dull, listless congregational singing in our world today is because the heart isn't there. And if you don't change the heart, and if people just get together and they're feelings oriented, then that's how you get all the sensual music. And then people pick music based on taste. Well, I like it. Well, it really doesn't matter whether we like it or not. I mean, I grew up liking Luther Vandross and Anita Baker, right? We were talking about this today. The opening song on our wedding reception was a Luther Vandross song. I liked it. I like it now. But the question isn't, oh, do I like this? The question is, what is right? What is right before a holy God? That's the question. And so I've changed my like, all right? I haven't done it. The Lord has done it. And I think that people sometimes ignore that. The point is, everything that I have, it's the Lord's. All the energy that I have, everything about me is directed to adoring and worshiping Him. And I would argue that much of the music that we see in our world today distracts people from the Lord. There's no adoration worship about it at all. And much of it is. I mean, there is good music, right? There is good worship music out there. And then there's the gray line, of course, and people always wonder, how far can I go? And people are going to make different choices in their homes. We've made a very steadfast choice in the church, and God willing, we'll never change it, where we're going to make sure that we stay conservative with our music, but we want this music that has all of these lofty lyrics to be sung by a congregation who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then I think that would improve our situation even here. You don't change the style of music, you change the heart. That's the key. I think that's the key. So who does Israel praise? Well, Israel praises the Lord. Notice that the title for God there, for the most part, is Lord, all capital letters. One reference to God in the psalm. So the text uses God and it uses the word Lord. What do you know about the word Lord in all capital letters? It's Yahweh. All right? We're talking about Yahweh, the one who is. He is the Lord, transcendent. He depends on no one. No one is sustaining God, but God himself is the sustainer of all. That's the key to that particular title for God. And it's directed to him as God. The word God means the mighty one, the strong one. The root of the Hebrew word for God and the plurality of the way that it's set communicates the idea that he is strong. There's no one stronger. And so it's appropriate that we end the Psalms with these two powerful names for God. And then the wonderful summation at the end, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes people use the word hallelujah as a punctuation mark, just like they do with a lot of holy names and things about God. By the way, the word hallelujah has God's name in it. So we have to be very careful about the way that we use it. If we use it in a light manner, then if you use that word in a light manner and your heart isn't filled with adoration and praise to God, then what do we call that? It's taking the Lord's name in vain, right? We're using it lightly. That's what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. If we say praise the Lord, then, or the Hebrew equivalent here, hallelujah, when we say that, we had better say it while we're walking in the Spirit of God. When our hearts are genuinely filled with love and with gratefulness and with worship. That's the idea. It's not, we're not saying that we should never say the word, but we should say it in the right way with the right heart. You say, well, why? Well, simply put, God deserves nothing less from us, right? He deserves our praise. Our lives should be a hallelujah before the Lord. This was the whole theme of the funeral for Benneth Peters Jones. And I just watched it while I was making cookies for the men on Tuesday night. And it was a wonderful funeral to think about your life, your attitude, who you are as a hallelujah before the Lord. I think there could be nothing greater about living life if we were that. So the text is referring, of course, to people, because it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, those who have breath, those who have the breath of life in them. Now you say, well, is it talking about animals here? Is it talking about the rocks crying out or the mountains and creation? No, I don't think so. I think it's talking about people. And so the idea is the more skillful we become in genuinely attributing praise to the Lord, the happier we'll be as a people. So with those three thoughts, let's conclude the Psalms together. First of all, the Lord deserves the praise of everything that has breath. He deserves the praise of everything that has breath. Remember who he is and what he has done, his character and his conduct. He deserves praise for all of those things about him. But when you think about what God has done for you, I mean, as a Christian, I go a step further and I think about what Jesus has done for me. Think about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew no sin, but he became sin for me. He died on a cross for me. He shed his own life's blood, and then on the third day he rose. And then he was seen of men. He ascended to the Father's right hand, and he's still, to this very day, at the Father's right hand, interceding for you and for me. That's exactly what we were saying on Sunday. That's his preparatory work. That's what he has done for us. He has done those things. And even God the Father and his sacrificial love in giving us his Son, his only begotten, his only beloved one. That sacrifice is worthy of praise, deserving of praise. No other sacrifice is. Not like that. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Secondly, everything that has breath has reason to praise the Lord, right? I mean, some interlapping concepts there, but think about that. Every single one of us has reason to praise the Lord tonight. It doesn't matter who we are. Even the people that are not here and who are at home and they're warm places enjoying even their sinful activities, I mean, they owe all of that to God. You say, well, they don't acknowledge it. They're not praising God for it. Well, that's true. But we adjure that they do so, even as the psalmists do. In other words, these unredeemed people, or you might even say irredeemable people, some are irredeemable in our world today. The rain comes from heaven, right? And it benefits all of those people as well. Acts 14 and verse 17 says that when it falls from heaven, it gives fruitful seasons and it fills the hearts of all people with food and gladness. All people in California are benefiting from the rain that falls from the heavens this evening. And we need to realize that. Nobody deserves these things, yet the Lord bestows these things upon all of us. Not only that, but the Lord bestows upon our country. I'm not talking about Israel, but it was true of Israel too. But he bestows upon the United States of America light like no other country has had it. There's no denying that. To deny that is futile. You don't know history if you deny that. So here, our people in the United States, are we perishing due to a lack of revelation? You know, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision there means revelation. It's not talking about some hallucination. It's talking about, and it's not talking about something inspiring either. Sometimes business people will use that verse and they'll say, where there is no vision, we need the CEO in here to get a vision. All right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about God's revelation. Where there is no revelation, people perish. But is there revelation in the United States of America? And the answer is there is. There's so much revelation. We have knowledge like no other country. But notice what the Bible says about that. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And the citizens of our country, the United States of America, has this light. Better light in many respects. And yet, our deeds are evil as a nation. Just as John 3 and verse 19 says. You say, well, not us, right? We've responded to this light. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, so it's different when it comes to us, right? Well, we did respond to the light. We are saved. I think that most of the folks here tonight are saved. So we have the Scriptures, right? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to apply the Scriptures and to grow in wisdom. But to whom much is given, what does the Bible say? Much shall be required of us. So where is our praise? Is your life, is my life, an hallelujah to the Lord? God deserves our adoration. He deserves our gratitude. He deserves it in our thought life, in our words, the way we treat our families, and the way we treat one another. He deserves that. He deserves our praise. And then finally, true happiness and joy stems from praising the Lord, right? You say, well, that's obvious. Well, I don't know that it is. It hasn't been obvious all the time in my life. Maybe it has in your life, but I think there are many times in my life where I'm very self-absorbed. I'm not talking about when we're together and we're singing hymns together and we have worship together on a Sunday morning. I'm thinking about all the times when we're worried about stuff. Or there's consternation in us because of the political scene or the financial scene that's going on around us. All of that's overwhelming us and dragging us down. What does that say about our God when we're that way? We're not an hallelujah for God. That's for sure. We're no different than the world. Our lives should cry out to the world at large, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who has this great power forever and ever. Revelation 5 and verse 13. See, if you're not a happy person, if you're a miserable person, the reason that that is true is you're not praising the Lord. It's just, it comes right down to that. It's that simple. Because it's impossible. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. This is true. It's impossible for you to not be happy if you're praising the Lord. So if you're not happy, then you're not praising the Lord. And if you're not praising the Lord, you're not glorifying God. Because to glorify God is to demonstrate his righteousness, to demonstrate his character to the world at large, to tell the world who he is and what he has done for us. That's a life. That's a hallelujah before the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the psalmist says. Well, you speak to people today, and what do you see? You see a whole lot of self-pity out there. And all these people get together and they throw their pity parties. If it's not self-pity, it's excuse-making. People dole out the excuses constantly. Well, my question is, where is the praise from God's people? Why are we throwing pity parties? Why are we no different than the world because we make our excuses? Where is the worship? Where is the adoration? Where is the genuine love for our God? That's the question. And so I love the exchange life. You know, we talk about it with our discipleship and with reaching out to people. We can take this heaviness that we feel, we can take mourning and we can exchange it for the oil of joy from the Lord Jesus. We can take the garment of praise and that can be ours in exchange for the spirit of heaviness. That's what it means to make your life an hallelujah for the Lord. May the Lord find us, as Isaiah put it, trees of righteousness before him, the planting of the Lord. That's what we should be. We should be that kind of stability, that kind of force in our world at large. And then he will be glorified. So let everyone who has breath tonight praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for the Psalms and for the journey through them. We pray, Lord, that you would bless all of these times that we've spent here together. I think that in heaven we're going to look back at these times and we're going to be grateful that we had them. I don't understand all of the details, but I know it's true. Lord, help us to be committed to you and to be committed to one another. Help us to fulfill the great commands and to fulfill the great commission that you've given to us. Help us to be hope bringers and light bearers in the world at large. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.